And he said, and then I was working on his campaign. I was introduced to him, and he told me he was a public defender, and I told him I was a public defender. And he said to me, you know, we're going to give you as much pay as the prosecutors. And I said, we already got that. I said, what we really need is more resources to make the battleground more equal.
What do you mean by that?
I mean simply that public defenders are paid well in most places, especially in California. But in a trial, what's important is the resources, the experts, the technological aspects. It all costs money. Now, the prosecutor has basically a blank check, but defense attorneys who are being paid by the state have to go to the judge to ask for anything. Anything that they want, an expert, a chemist, a physicist, whatever it is we need, we have to ask them. And they could tell us no. Or they can say, well, here's the list of people that you can ask. So you're limited to this list. No such limits exist for the prosecutor. And it's a real detriment to proper representation, as I understand it.
How has that changed with the current Trump administration?
It hasn't changed at all. It's not going to change with the Trump administration. Trump administration is not going to go down to the limb for defense attorneys. After all, remember, Trump was the man who still wants to see the five gentlemen that were convicted of rape in Central Park put back in jail. I mean, this man is not a defense-orientated person in the criminal law.
On that note, Bill Maestas, attorney, I want to thank you very much for joining us on
Thank you. Well,
on that note, Bill Maestas, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Politics or Pedagogy.
Thank you, John. Always good to be here with you.
Likewise.
Okay. 90.7 FM, KPFK, Los Angeles.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Esty Chandler. A couple of months ago, I went with friends to see the Los Angeles premiere of V's new musical, Dear Everything. V, formerly known as Eve Ensler, is the Tony and Obie Award-winning New York Times bestselling playwright, author, and activist who, among other projects, wrote the groundbreaking play, The Vagina Monologues. Dear Everything, a poignant pop and folk musical uprising for the earth, speaks to a reality of our time. Adults who are focused on surviving the now, and youth with a fierce eye on the future. Waiting to meet up with friends in the lobby, I couldn't help but notice a wonderful exhibit set up by the Dear Everything Global Art Collective, which included works from 33 grassroots artists and organizations from all over the world. Focused on the intersections of human rights, resilience, resistance, hope, peace, sustainability, and nature. Each artist was tasked with sharing their personal Dear Everything message to the world through their art. Having noticed many pieces from artists in Gaza, following the show, I made my way back out to the lobby to take more time looking at the art and reading about the artists. I was immediately drawn to a breathtaking drawing of Hind Rajab by Shahrukh Ayad, a 22-year-old artist and graphic designer in Gaza. Guests were encouraged to take photos of the art and to post and share them on social media, also to tag and follow the artists. It was there that I met the young curator of the exhibit, Penelope Oliver, who joins us today to discuss the Dear Everything Global Art Collective and some of the very talented young artists whose work was featured in the exhibit. Penelope Oliver is a poet, human rights activist, United Nations youth advocate, presidential scholar under the Biden-Harris administration, journalist, nonprofit founder, and policy leader from Sacramento, California. She's a second-year student at UC Berkeley studying political science and international relations with a minor in interdisciplinary human rights. Her work centers on transforming local action into global change through education, advocacy, the arts, and youth representation. Penelope teaches free biology, ESL, and SAT prep courses for over 100 girls living under Taliban rule, designing full online courses, lesson plans, and trauma-informed curriculum. As founder of All Access Arts, a nonprofit serving over 50 children weekly, she leads child-led, play-based programs for youth impacted by poverty, homelessness, violence, and displacement. Penelope also organizes global youth art collectives, including the two created for V's Dear Everything Productions in Los Angeles and New York, and integrates mental health advocacy through SEL-based programming. And I'm very happy that also joining our conversation today is a very special guest, Shahrukh Ayad, the young artist who created that captivating drawing of Hind Rajab, joining us today from Gaza. Shahrukh, which means sunshine or sunrise in Arabic, is a recent college graduate who majored in engineering and computer science. Now at 23, she has survived 7 wars and 2 famines. Art began as a hobby for her and grew out of her love of drawing and playing with color. Shahrukh's art opened the way for her to learn graphics and work as a freelance graphic designer, which she's done for 3 years on multiple projects for multiple clients. Her life of making art, cooking her favorite foods, playing with her cats, and working to help her clients sell their products with her graphics and growing her clientele was shattered by Israel's retaliatory genocidal assault on Gaza, which began over 26 months ago. It is my great pleasure to welcome Shahrukh Ayad and Penelope Oliver to Middle East in Focus.
So honored to be joining you today. Thank you so much. And so beautifully said.
Welcome, Shahrukh.
Welcome back. Thank you.
Penelope, can you start by telling us how the Dear Everything Global Art Collective came into existence? How you set out to gather artwork from young artists around the world to curate the exhibit? And of course, how you found Shahrukh in Gaza?
Yeah, so I had worked with V for the first show in New York, and I worked with kids that I serve through All Access Arts. And it started because I was leading an art collective there and working with the kids in Sacramento. I kind of asked them what their Dear Everything was and watched as they created something really beautiful and something that only they could describe, you know, only their vision for the world could describe. Looking back, so that was in January. So over the summer, V mentioned that the show was coming to Los Angeles and reached out saying she wanted me to curate the art collective. I was thinking, how could we make this more inclusive? How could we make this more well-rounded to all artists around the world? And at the same time, I had seen incredible artists via social media from all across the world, but especially in Palestine, Sudan, Congo, Venezuela, and Afghanistan. So I started reaching out after getting V's approval to different artists and kind of letting them lead it too. I didn't put any restrictions on it, and V allowed me to do that. So I reached out to different artists and I said, I love their work. I love their message for peace and for hope and for climate justice. And if they'd be interested in having their art shown, and also what their message to me was and their message to the world and other artists they knew. And thankfully, one of my close friends and family friends, Octavio, introduced me to Shahrukh. And we started chatting, and it was like we had met before almost, and talking about our cats and things we love to do. And then Shahrukh reached out with her incredible drawing of Hind Rajab. And I really had tears in my eyes when I saw it, because there's no... And I encourage everyone after the show to look at this drawing, go on Instagram, take a look at it. But truly had no words how beautifully it encompassed her innocence and her bravery, but also everyone in Gaza and everyone around the world longing for peace.
Sharuk, can you tell us about the portrait of Hind Rajab that you created for the exhibit and how it represents your Dear Everything message to the world? And also, please talk about your experience working on the Dear Everything Global Art Collective project.
Sure. As you know, Dear Everything exhibit was all about paintings and paints from around the world that speaks about peace, that all stand out for peace. As I knew Penelope, she was like asking for art collective that reflect peace and childhood and things that reflect resilience also. So when I first time heard about Hind Rajab's story, I was so experiencing a hard time because this is a very sad and hard story. Like, you know, she's a young child and she like was living alone in the art case. So when I first time decided to draw this paint and start doing this art time, that was very hard because like there was no good conditions to draw. There was no desk to set paper on, no proper pens to draw. But I decided to draw it so it can like tell the world that Hind's here and there's a lot of Hind in coming in the way, and best way also after Hind that you need to give attention so this story will not be repeated again and again. So when first time Penelope told me about Dear Everything Art Collective, I told her, no, like I really want to show my paint Hind Rajab because like it will reflect a big story and will reflect something which is coming in the future and something which is doing at the moment in the present. So I said to her, like, Hind Rajab paint will be show there. Please take it. And she accepted. Of course, she said to me she was very happy and people in the arts were happy by my paint. But the paint itself was so well done. And also story was reflecting a lot of peace, a lot of childhood that the world must give concerns and attention for. And that's it.
Thank you. Penelope, I would love for you to tell us more about your work. Perhaps tell us a little bit about your speech that you gave at the United Nations last year, and also the organization that you founded, All Access Arts.
Yeah, so my work encompasses, I would say, the intersections of everything justice. So I do a lot of human rights work. I do some education, children, like youth programming, children's rights, climate justice, policy, politics. And this came about purely because as I grew older, I realized my values were human rights and were, you know, quote unquote, political and controversial. So that's kind of how my journey started. And my parents at a very young age instilled values of volunteering and helping others and loving each other and peace. So yeah, my work is pretty, I would say, interdisciplinary and intersectional. My organization, All Access Arts, I founded after receiving a grant about 3 years ago, and we aim to serve youth who don't typically have a chance or are in crisis with arts, STEM, civics, nature, programming, and we're for community by community, so super grassroots. So we do programming in Sacramento, but looking into the new year, we're looking to expand to do like little compassion kits and little art kits for kids who have been medically evacuated from Gaza and from areas of mass human rights violations. We're also expanding. We really want to do more art collectives like this. So that's about All Access Arts. And then my speech at the United Nations was about a year ago. And the essence of it was that we as youth and we as society have power. We tend to blame society when there's problems, but we are the civil society. And together we can rise up. But I mentioned how the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and Sustainable Development Goals and UN frameworks are all embedded in a part of our lives. And whether or not we think we can or can't do something, we do have power in the smallest actions, in volunteering, in grassroots action, and simply by listening to each other, getting to know each other and each other's differences. Spoke a lot about Palestine, Sudan, and Congo, and how you can't bomb the truth away and that we bear witness and that we're ready to rise up. We want peace, and my generation will not comply with this genocide and genocides throughout the world, but also living in a time where this is accepted and this is normalized.
Yes. Shahrukh, I think it's important for people to hear, so I hope it's okay if I ask you to tell us about your life in Gaza prior to October of 2023, and then where and how you and your family are now sheltering and how you're getting by, especially in the cold and rain of this winter that we're reading about and frankly worrying very much for the people of Gaza about.
Sure, it's my pleasure. As you know, I'm Shahrukh. Like, it's from my name that I will shine, like, everywhere, anytime, what's happening, what's going to happen. Like, this is my message in the world that I'm going to shine whenever it happens to me. So, I was, before October 2023, I was full of energy, happy, going to work early, designing graphics. I also, like, I was, like, every week or every month, get a paint and, like, holding it on my room wall and, like, paint with colors and, like, I have everything to do everything. And also, I love to, like, every week, to keep my cats, play with them. We had a neighbor, like, behind us and we have trees and lands. I was, like, we have orange trees and a lot of olive trees. Every winter or every time we had to get all of this, like, I was so happy with the greens and colors land. My life was great. After that, we have this pandemic and we got to evacuate about 20 times for 1 year. And like now it's 2.5 years, but in these 2.5 years, we like evacuated 25 times because every area we was in, like it was dangerous and we had to evacuate to another one. We lost house, we lost cats, we lost land, we lost everything that we can't get it back. Because like this area where I lived and raised and born in, it's now in the east of Gaza. This east of Gaza is yellow areas that we can't back to because it's occupied. We can't back. If someone back, he will be like shooter or something. So we're now, we suffered a lot. We lost a lot of family members. Also, at the moment, we are at damaged house. We are living in a damaged house. Because we lived in a tent before, but in winter tent is so cold, so, so cold that you can like imagine because the temperature out of the tent is warmer than it on the tent itself inside. So we inside and it's too cold and the rain drops get into the tent and we get all of our clothes and all our things, water. So we decided to move to a damaged house that is owned by our friend. They let us to be in because it have some walls, but the walls have some holes in it and it's broken and it's damaged. But we managed to live in because like it's better like we sinking in the water. Okay, it's better than that. It's cold and we had water inside, but like we can manage it because it's a bit. But we have to live, like we have to get living in this situation because we have to complete our lives, like we won't stop. We have to complete our message. And I also managed to help my family during this pandemic. And at the moment also I'm helping them by like my work, by my hands, like to get all of these bad things away. And we're trying to get another good shelter or to evacuate from Gaza itself, travel outside or something. And that's it.
Wow. Your courage is amazing. You're listening to Middle East in Focus on listener-supported KPFK in Los Angeles. I'm Esti Chandler, happy to be joined today by two very impressive young women, Palestinian artist and graphic designer from Gaza, Shahrukh Ayad, and poet, human rights activist, and nonprofit founder, Penelope Oliver, discussing their work, including the project they collaborated on with the Dear Everything Global Art Collective, and also life in Gaza during this frigid winter. Penelope, do you want to talk a little bit about the through line between the call to action for our environment, Endear Everyone, and the artwork submitted to you by these young artists from around the world representing their Dear Everything messages?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what's happening in Gaza is a genocide, but it's also an ecocide. And when we care for each other, we care for the planet. I think those two are incredibly intertwined, and I don't think we can have a healthy planet without respecting each other and vice versa. I remember writing a poem after Dear Everything and after being inspired by the most incredible, courageous, brave, and talented artists like Shahrukh saying, "Dear Everything, may we realize that we're all connected and our lives come down to sheer luck from borders we created to divide us on the same earth. When we care for our planet, we care for each other, we sow kindness, and we cultivate peace." And I think that truly encompasses my belief in Dear Everything and this art collective relating to it, which is the essence of the play is action, is through sadness, through grief, through pure devastation, them coming together to save the town and to save the remaining oak tree. And the oak tree to me also resembles an olive tree in Palestine and resembles the courage and the bravery of our friends in Gaza and our friends from all around the world. So I think both the message and the values within the show are incredibly intertwined to action and to urgent humanitarian aid and urgent humanitarian action and grassroots action through groups like Jewish Voice for Peace, which you're the founder of, Code Pink, and other mobilization groups, but also from a climate justice lens. We can't be fighting for a healthy planet if we're not fighting for each other and fighting for the most basic human rights. Climate justice is a human rights issue, and I think human rights is a climate justice issue, and those two go very hand in hand with each other. And from a very simple and conservationist perspective too, like, people in Palestine love their pets, love their tree, love their land as much as we do, and enjoy nature as much as we do. So we really need to think about that. Like, we are not, though oppression divides us and though oppression makes our lives completely different, in the end, we all care and love the same things. And we need to think about that and root our action in that, in our collective humanity.
Thank you for that. Just to clarify, I am not the founder of JVP. I'm only the founder of...
Oh, of LA.
It was after, yes. And just to set the record straight, Shahrukh wrote about her portrait of Hind Rajab, quote, "Made in memory of Hind Rajab, the child whose final call became the voice of innocence in a war with no safety. This is not one child's story alone. If the war continues, every child, every girl and boy, every innocent, every dream holder risks becoming the next Hind. This work is a call to protect life and the violence and refuse the erasure of their names and futures," end quote. Shahrukh, can you talk about your goals and dreams for the future, for yourself, for your family, and for your community?
Sure. My goals for, actually, it's going to be a new year. So my first and priority goal is to have peace and my family and for my community. This first thing first I want. Also, second thing is I wish if we can solve many problems here with sheltering and like getting children to education and proper education, that they will like get back what they was before this pandemic. Third thing is to travel abroad and get master's degree so I can show the world who is me and my paints, and to spread Hind's story and Hind's message to the whole world. Also, I want my art and my design to be like, should be known. I don't want it to be spread in the whole world, but I want to be known. I want my message to be known. This is all I want. And I hope peace for me, for you, and for Pendulum, and for the whole world also. Thank you.
I can't thank the two of you enough for taking this time to be with us. Do you have any last words for our audience, Penelope?
Thank you so much for listening. And please know that you have everything. You can do anything in your power to stand up, speak up, and show up for Palestine and for peace. And please remember and please reach out and listen and bear witness to the stories of our friends in Gaza. It's truly the least you can do. But during such a cruel occupation and such a cruel genocide, your compassion speaks louder than all of our world leaders' silence. So please use your power for good. And thank you so much, Esty, for having me in Shuruk. And thank you, Shuruk. You've truly taught me so much. And I'll always remember our friendship. And I'll always remember Octavio for connecting us and our mutual friend. So thank you so much, Esty. And I'll hand it over to Shuruk. She has something way more important to say than I can.
You know, we just have a few seconds left. Shuruk, do you have anything left to say?
No, thank you. I just want to thank you.
Okay. As Penelope wrote, "Dear everything, may our love for our planet and our world connect us. Together, our grassroots action, compassion, and empathy unite us in our shared humanity. It's through art that we heal. We use our voice for all things morally righteous and illuminate the path forward for progress," end quote. For the last time this year, I want to remind everyone listening that we're trying to sign up 500 new sustainers before the end of the year. So we have only a few days left. Our mandate at KPFK is simple, but vitally important to the health of the station. 500 new sustaining members, folks that give a monthly donation to the station by December 31st. 500 new sustainers is the difference between limping through 2026 and actually being able to begin rebuilding the station Los Angelinos deserve. It means updating our digital tools, hosting more live events, more original programming, and something I often get asked about, more local reporting. All of these things we know you, our listeners, want. A $20 monthly gift might seem small, but it means stability for KPFK. Monthly donations provide reliable funding we can plan around, which means the ability to build our infrastructure, upgrade our transmitter, update web tools, and make needed equipment repairs. These are all real costs of running a public radio station that is truly independent, one that can produce programs like the one we brought you today and can do it without any censorship. 500 new monthly sustainers will allow us to move from patching holes that are leaking to rebuilding and continuing the growth this independent media source, which is truly a rare thing today. If you've been meaning to support KPFK, or if you've been listening for months, maybe even years without joining, this is the moment when it'll have the most effect. We ask you to step up, not out of guilt, but because the alternative is looming. The alternative means losing one of the only truly independent media spaces left in Southern California. So I ask you to call in now at 818-985-5735, or simply hop on our website at kpfk.org and help us hit our goal of 500 new sustainers by December 31st. Help us end this year strong by becoming a sustainer and pledging $20 a month. If you can do that, please do it today. I also want to thank all of our supporters and listeners for continuing to tune in every week and continuing to support KPFK and Middle East in Focus. Once again, I want to thank our guests, Shuruk Ayad and Penelope Oliver. I also want to thank Mark Maxwell for his production support today. For KPFK Los Angeles, I'm Esty Chandler thanking you for your continued support of KPFK and for taking this time to put the Middle East in focus.